And I'll just give you a little bit of a heads up. If you have something, anything of praise involved with Christmas Hope, it can be from the very beginning, from Announcement Sunday this last year, all the way up until even today. If you have anything that you'd like to share of just God's goodness, let's remember this is not a time to praise man. This is not a time to call attention to ourselves. This is not a time to even really for this purpose, anything else. This is really a time where we want to call attention to the Lord and praise Him and worship Him for what He's done. And so I want you to be thinking that way. If there's something that you would like to call attention to our Lord, something that you thought of maybe different from somebody else, I want to encourage you to think of something that you can share. You don't need to share anything. In fact, don't force anything. But if you have something that's on your heart that you just want to thank the Lord for, it'd be a very fitting time. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. This passage, I was thinking, praying, what could we do to kind of, I want to say close up, because it's not a closing, it's just, of course, we already got a number for next year, but we're not closing up, but just a time to thank the Lord for what He's done, because I want to submit to you, God was so good to us. Again, God was gracious. We didn't deserve anything, and God could have gotten glory out of just our obedience, but He chose to do differently, and God chose to bless in amazing things beyond us. And so God was so good, and we want to bring God glory for that. But Genesis chapter 8 is kind of it's a very similar situation. I wouldn't suggest to you that our effort was exactly the same, although I say this, whatever God calls us to do, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, God always gives the grace to do it. So honestly, we are very much on the same plane with that, because God asks us to do something and we do it. That is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord when we do that, just as if it looks to be huge. And sometimes God gives different size things to certain size of people, and I'm not talking about great faith. I don't think that Noah had greater faith than we. And again, as I said this morning, there's no difference. We're not talking about the amount of faith. We're talking about the bigness of our God. Okay, period. And so I honestly think that we find Noah in a very similar place. God had asked him to do something, and he had given the means to do it, and he did it. And God had certainly done a work with Noah and his family and the ark. What a tremendous work it was. And it's just so huge. And yet, as I mentioned, even this morning, no one showed up. But was God still pleased even though no one showed up? Absolutely, He was. God was still pleased because Noah obeyed God. Noah was faithful. He did what God had said, and God that was a blessing to the Lord. That was just it was so wonderful for the Lord. God had done some work. And so here in Genesis chapter 8, you know, we're reading through this event and Noah and the ark and God speaking to Noah, and all these things are done. And we get to verse, you know, they're ready to come off of the ark. And we read in the verses right before verse 20 about the people, the animals getting off of the ark. And so you understand where we're at. Now I want to call your attention to verse 20. Okay, so Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This just happens after everything has come off. You know, in verse 19, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. That's following up. Verse 15, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And so bring everything, fowl and cattle, in verse 17. Verse 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. And so they get off the ark. Now let's think just for a moment. What had just happened to the earth, the face of the earth? When Noah got off, was he getting off to his old farm that he had left? I don't know that Noah had a farm, but if there was anything, you know, where he kept the animals and the pens and everything, was there any of that left? What's the answer? No way. Did Noah open up the ark door, or did God open up the ark door and Noah walk out, and there was the home that Noah and his wife had had so long ago. Was the home still going to be there? No way. No way. We talk about a flood that covered the tops of the mountains. There's no way that there's going to be a home. Everything was destroyed. You know, when Noah got off, there was an amazing new earth, if I could put it that way. It was a new landscape. It was new. Everything that they had. Noah, if Noah was like me, he probably asked his wife, "What's for supper?" I wonder what his wife said. I don't know. Do you got any ideas? maybe an animal or something that they had, because remember, they didn't have gardens growing. You know, everything wasn't ready to go. Everything that they had, it was going to take a while to get things going, and it was going to take a while for their life to get established again. That's something that, honestly, I haven't really spent a lot of time in my life thinking about. What did Noah face when he got off of the ark? So my question to you is this. Did Noah have much to do when the ark door opened? What's the answer? He had a lot to do. Could Noah really waste a bunch of time? Not really, because livelihood counted. I mean, what are some of the things, and I'm going to open it up to you, what are some of the things that Noah would have had to have done, and we would say very worthy of doing right away? What were some of the things that Noah would have needed to do right away, Alyssa? Okay, right away. I mean, because it takes time for things to grow, right? I mean, if he planted corn that morning, he wasn't going to get corn that night. So he had to plant. Certainly, planting needed to be done right away. And in fact, Noah could have, in his humanity, thought, man, we're late for planting. We've got to get it going because it's going to take a while for these things to grow. Well, what else? What else could have been very high priority on Noah's list of things to do? Nothing? Build a house, right? Somebody said that. Build a house. Very important. Absolutely. Building a house. Got to get something for his wife, you know, and families. Shem, Ham, Japheth, they got to get out and build homes. They've got to get out and get some shelter because there were going to be more storms that would come, certainly. There were some more hands raised and some more things. If they were different, what else? Unload the ark, okay? You know, and all the animals are coming, but that doesn't mean that everything was just going to, you know, what would they do? And we don't even know what they did with all that stuff on the ark. I don't know, but there was things probably was still, the animals were cut off, but there was a lot of food still. There was a lot of, who knows, they had been living in this place for a long time, so they had work to do just unloading. What's out there? What's left? Is there anything? Where are we going to build these houses? Where are we going to set up a farm? What, you know, were they on the mountaintops? Was there a place? Where's water? Where's livelihood going to be? You know, there's a lot of things. Any other thoughts? What else would they have to do? What else would they have to do? All right, so I'm not going to keep pressing it. What's that? Dig a well. All right, they needed a source of livelihood, and so whether they went and found a creek that was still running or what, they had to do a lot of things. And again, you know, God opened the door and they went out, and it wasn't like they just said, you know what, we're going to get to that in a few days. I think they had much to do. Now, you say, Pastor, where do you find? It's not in the scripture. That's just human nature. That's just part of human life. They had things to do, and certainly they were going to do it, and God wanted them to get out and to multiply and replenish the earth. And things were going to start over. There was much to do. According to what we read, we know one thing. When Noah got off the ark, again in verse 18, Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. And Noah, verse 20, builded an altar. What does that tell us? Noah worshipped God. Noah worshipped God. God was the focus. I'm so grateful that Noah, you know, honestly, we suggested some things out here that he could have done. I don't think that we could have looked at Noah and said that he was wrong in walking out and going and just said, all right, boys, we got to build homes. That sounds right to me. You know, I probably would have done that. But you know what? When he got out, he recognized God be praised. God was worthy of his worship. He understood that God was the one to be worshipped. He understood what had happened. Now, what could easily have Noah been thinking when he got off? man, I did a great job for my family. What a task that I have done. He could have got off and he could have, in a sense, say worshiped himself. He could have really got off and patted himself on the back and say, wow, what an exciting endeavor, Noah. You did a great job, you know what? Look at all, he could have demanded, a video, watched, that he goes, I want to rehearse this again. I want to see what we just did. I want to recap all the highlights of this last 100 years, and building that thing and have an exciting time, to review. He could have done that, but he understood something. He understood God needed to be worshipped, and that's why he began to sacrifice. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He realized that God should be worshipped. He understood that mankind is not to be worshipped. He didn't have a party for his family and what they had, how they had survived. He didn't sit down and review all the skills that they had and why they were the chosen family to save mankind and to continue on with things. He didn't glory in his work. He didn't glory in the means in which things happened. He understood that even it wasn't his faith, and he sat down and said, wow, I'm such a man of faith. I'm glad that God could use me. The object of our faith. We talked about the object of hope. It's the same answer. The object of his faith was God, and he worshiped God. Anytime that we are able to be used to accomplish something, we must remember that God needs to be worshipped. God needs to get the credit. It's not us. Woe unto us if we would ever look at any accomplishment that we would make and say, you know what? We did a great job. We really pulled together. We really did a good job at that. We had a lot of folks coming through in the last several nights that really, I would say they were trying to do something great, but there was great temptation there because there was a lot of people that came through and just said, wow, you guys did a great job. And I tried with all of my heart and all my best to look at them when they said that and say, praise the Lord, because God did it. God be praised. But there was a temptation taken that and saying, we did. You know what? We did not. We did not. Maybe we obeyed, but you know what? That is just belief. It is belief. We believe just the same as we get saved. We believe and we do what God asks us to do. God is the one that had done the work. We're not to be worshipped. Friends, I want to tell you something. Anytime we do something for the Lord, we've got to be careful that we will not accept praise. It is not us that accept the praise. Because when we do that, we are saying that we accomplished much and we take that credit from God. Folks, it is not us. I will tell you one thing straight up. It was not us that did that, that did the Christmas Hill Festival. It was God that did that. There's no way a church of our size and the abilities and the talents that we have or don't have, there's no way we could do it. There were some people that came through, they're absolutely amazed. And I said, you know what? That's because of a good God, because we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. How did you do that? How did you put those videos together? Certainly you had to pay somebody to do that. How did you do this? Say, you know what? God did it. God did it. And that was my answer to that one. I remember certain ones, and I said, God did it. God is the one to be worshipped. It is not our skills. You know what? I praise the Lord because there were some skilled people in our congregation that were able to be used in tremendous ways. And I want to tell you, praise the Lord for that. But remember, it's not our skill that we worship. We don't sit there and say, boy, it's a good thing that I know how to do that. Who was the one that helped us to know how to do that? It was God. And I tell you what, there were probably a lot of things that happened that we say, wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that that happened because it was a miracle that it was able to happen. God has placed all of us. He had given us the skills, but it is not our skill that we worship. Folks, we need to be so careful. Let's not worship the things that we have and attribute them to ourselves, thinking that we are good, thinking that we are worthy, thinking that we ought to be praised. No, it's not our work. You know what? There are a lot of you that worked very hard, a lot of you that put in a lot of hours and a lot of time and a lot of commitment, but we need to be careful. It's not our work that accomplished that. The God says that our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. That's what God thinks about our work. We need to be careful to have the same mindset. It is not our work. And by the way, this doesn't just have to do with Christmas Hope. This anything that we do, it seems like we're tempted with anything that we do right to take credit with ourselves, with our skills, with our work, you know, with the means in which this happened and how God put it together. You know, even the weather, you know, we can take credit and say, yeah, we had great weather. Who is in control of the weather? That wasn't us. And many times we say, yeah, well, we prayed for it. Listen, you think that God could do it without a prayer? I think he wants us to pray, but there's a reason why. Because we acknowledge that he did it. When we don't pray, we somehow think that we did it. But when we ask God to do it like he did, I tell you what, this last Friday night should have been a downpour, but God moved the clouds, he moved the rain, he moved the storm, and he made a great night. And we had a lot of people come out. That's God. God be praised. We've got to remember that it's not our means. It's like I said this morning, it's not even our faith. Folks, we cannot, I do not want any of us coming out of here and said, you know what, we really demonstrated great faith this year. What is that? God is the object of our faith. It was only because of God, it's not because we had faith. Let's not turn faith into a work. You understand what I mean? Let's not turn faith into work. God did it. Let's let him be the object of it. He is the object of our faith. God is to be worshipped. That's the first thing that I noticed, that Noah builded an ark unto the Lord. He recognized. Noah, of all people, easily could have got out of that ark and he said, wow, look what we did. Look what we did. We saved our lives. But he knew that it wasn't him. But I next want you to notice, not only did Noah worship God, but Noah worshipped God. What does it mean he worshipped? How did Noah worship? We see that there was a sacrifice given. Now, there were a number of things in scriptures that that brought forth an altar and sacrifice. Sin, right? A sin was something that if they would sin, they would give a sacrifice and they would offer a lamb or a ram or something to atone for their sin. And many people have put that in there that maybe Noah was kind of getting right with the Lord and said, you know what, because of our sin, we want to offer a sacrifice. God, would you forgive us of our sin? And I think that could be a part of it, and certainly there's a picture of what would come. And certainly the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world, and there's certainly pictures that we could look at. But I honestly think that there's more to this sacrifice, this altar that Noah gave to the Lord, other than just sin. And I really think that it has to do with worship. And that is bringing praise and glory to the Lord. I think he was worshiping the Lord in thanksgiving. But there was a sacrifice given. Notice that sacrifice was now. It was right away. God does something. That's why I chose tonight. You know, I didn't want to wait for another week. I didn't want to wait for a little while for us to come back. The first thing that Noah did is said, right now, God, we got to thank you. Folks, I think it's a tremendous thing. When God answers, we need to go to our knees and thank him for it right now. There's a principle that is given right here. Noah gets off and he builds an altar unto the Lord. We get done with Christmas Hope Festival. We don't wait another day. We bow down to the Lord tonight. And we're going to do that. We're going to thank the Lord for what he's done. I think it's now. But notice the magnitude in which Noah sacrificed. Did you pay attention to the magnitude? I mean, this was no little thing. Noah just didn't sit down and bow a knee for 30 seconds and get up and go to work. This was a big deal, and I can't tell you. I tried to do some research to try to figure it out, but I fell short of the research. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Folks, I don't know. Again, some have surmised of how many animals got onto the ark. Okay, we don't know. Now, we know that it was all the different kinds of animals, okay? And so we understand that. I'm going to get into all that. It doesn't mean that every breed of dog, you know, was on and got off, but we know that there were dogs. But there were lots of different kinds of animals. In fact, lots of kinds. Hundreds of different kinds of animals that got on and off. Now, this was of the clean sort of the animals, and this was of the clean of the fowls. And so some of that was eliminated, the unclean or whatever that were on the ark. Those were not offered as sacrifice, but certainly all the clean animals. And so it says here, again, in verse 20, it says, and took of every clean beast. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. But of that every clean beast, of that, and some would suggest of every kind, then that he sacrificed. Can you imagine how many animals then were sacrificed? Was this a little sacrifice? This was a big deal. There were animals. I don't exactly know what it looked like, but there were animals all over the place right now that are coming off of the ark. But Noah and his family, they offered of every clean beast and of every clean fowl that came off of that ark. That's a big sacrifice, folks. Why so big? Why would they give God so much? Why would they do so much work? Was there work to be done? There's a lot of work to be done. And there's a lot of work to be done, folks. We want to press forward. I know Pastor Dan was maybe being a little silly with 355 days, but I want to tell you something. We press on, we move forward. Christmas Hope Festival wasn't the end of, that was just one small thing that we can do for the Lord. We've got a lot of things to do. We've got a lot of endeavors, a lot of tasks to do for the Lord in all kinds of different ways, to all kinds of different groups, and in so many things. We have much to do, but I'll tell you what, there's one important thing that we ought to do tonight, and that's worship the Lord in a big way. I didn't bring any animals tonight. Came across my mind a little bit, but I know we're not going to sacrifice an animal out there. You know, but can you imagine if I had brought in a truckload? Can you imagine if I had brought in an ark load of animals? Pastor, what are we doing? We're sacrificing to the Lord. God had done a great work. And because God had done a great work, Noah said, we're going to sacrifice in a great way. How can we sacrifice in a great way? How can we praise the Lord in a great way? What could we do? And our minds start thinking, what can we do? What can we do? What would the Lord be pleased with? What would God want from us tonight? And I could ask you any thoughts, any ideas, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to suggest that you turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I believe that God, I really don't know that God was looking for a truckload of animals tonight. I don't think that God was hoping that Pastor Sean and Pastor Dan were going to bring in a big semi or a big ark load or a big European village load of animals. I don't believe that that's what God is looking for tonight. God simply wants something else, and he tells us in Romans chapter 12 what he expects. All God wants is us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it's a verse that you all know. Excuse me, verse 1. I put wrong in my notes. Verse 1. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or because of God's mercies. Question, has God been gracious and merciful to us? Has he? If we don't think he has, it's because we still think that we did it. And that's the first point, folks. We've got to realize something. We didn't do this. It would be a devastation if we thought that we did this. And by the way, I don't want any of us going out there and bragging to the world what we did. Now let's whack, we can brag on the Lord. Let's brag on the Lord. In fact, I promote that. Let's brag on the Lord. God was good. God was good. But let's be very careful. Very careful not to do that. If we don't understand God's grace and his mercy, then we're not set up for this. But based on the mercies of God, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or because of God's mercies, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know what God wants? Is he wants you. He just wants you to be a servant of the Lord. He says, you know what? I asked you to do Christmas Hope Festival, and I'm going to ask you to do this. It might be something simple. It's everyday obedience to the Lord. I give myself to you, whatever you want me to do. You know what? Noah back then, the greatest sacrifice that he could give was getting those lambs, getting those animals, getting those clean things and offering to the Lord. But God has changed some things. And now he says, listen, I've already given the lamb. I want you. And I want you alive. I'm not asking you to die for me. I'm asking you to be alive. I would just want your life. I want you to present your life. I want you to give your life to do whatever I want you to do. I want you to praise me with your mouth and with your lips. I want you to live for me with your actions and your responses and your words and your everything that you do. I just want your life. Friends, that's what God is asking us to do in a very big way. The Lord would get much glory tonight if we as a church would acknowledge what He has done right away, right now, in a very big way. What could we do? Again, God's not requiring some big truckload of animals. All He's requiring is a group of people that pitched in to do the work. Just a group of people that says, Lord, we're yours. And we are here to do whatever you want us to do. And to bring praise and honor and glory to Him for what He has done. Friends, I'll tell you what. God did a great job. God did a wonderful job. There were so many times that I was out there and I just hardly could believe that this was taking place, that people were coming through and hearing the gospel. And I watched a lot of people, and I really believe with all of my heart. Some of you have asked, do you think people are really watching, or are they just getting distracted? No doubt there were some distractions, but I really believe that a lot of people were watching these scenes and they were hearing the gospel truth. I know that because I watched it, but a lot of people told me about it. One of the greatest things that we received coming out is they were thankful that the whole story of Christmas was given, that it wasn't just a manger scene. The manger scene is important, but I tell you what, without the cross, without the promises of God, let me start with that, without the promises of God, without the cross, without the resurrected Savior, without all that, you know, the Christmas story that's in the manger is just a small part of it. And in fact, alone wouldn't do the job. There's so much more to Christmas, and people recognize that, and I say, praise the Lord. There were children that came through. There was one lady that told me that she sat there around the fire. She sat there around the fire and she was watching children there at the crossing. And she told me almost in tears, and she said, I watched those children. She said, Lord, would you please help these little kids to hear this story? Would you please help these kids to see what Jesus did for them so that they can be saved? Folks, I want to tell you, that brings me joy. That's glory to the Lord. That's exciting to see the gospel given out. If that doesn't excite you, then what will? What will excite you? That's so exciting. I had some of the best days of my life were watching people come and go through that gate and to hear the story of Christmas and walk out with a gospel track and an invitation to come back next year. What a tremendous opportunity. And God did this work, and we need to stop and thank the Lord tonight. We need to thank Him for what we've done. And I don't know if it will be the same as Noah's presentation, but I hope that tonight when we walk out, there would be a sweet-smelling savor. Notice, and I'm back in Romans now, go back to Genesis. What was God's response as Noah sacrificed to the Lord? Noah recognizes that it was all God and not him. It wasn't his work. It wasn't anything else. But what is God's response? There in verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, and of course he answers, of course, to the flood, I will not again curse the ground anymore. So he goes and he says, listen, I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to tell you something. Noah got out and he sacrificed, and the Lord was pleased. He was very grateful for what Noah had done. I trust and I hope that the Lord would be honored and glorified for what we can give Him tonight. And so with that, I want to open it up to you, and I want to ask you, what can we thank the Lord for? And I want a variety of things. Let this be a variety of all the clean animals, of all the clean fowls of the air. Let's give a wide variety of things. What can we thank the Lord for tonight? And after we do that, then I'm going to open it up to whoever wants to pray and just offer sacrifice, Lord, and say, God, thank you so much. I worship you. I praise you for what you've done. And God, help us to continue to give ourselves to what you want us to do. We're going to just open it up to prayer, and then we'll close the service tonight. But I wonder, what can we offer to the Lord? Let's be active. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be very disappointed tonight if nobody says anything. Be very disappointed, because I think it's our reasonable service to offer thanksgiving to the Lord and worship. God did a work for us. We need to sacrifice for Him. What can we praise the Lord for tonight?